Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler, joined by Paul Emig and Grant Bills. And it's great to be with you both. Okay, Aaron Rodgers, let's talk about him. I am going to play under the assumption that he does not sign somewhere while we're recording.
Sure.
I'm going to play under the assumption that if people watch this on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or the weekend, that he still will not have signed somewhere.
Okay, taking a risk.
Am I?
Yeah.
You think he'll sign somewhere by the end of the weekend?
Think.
I just feel like an Adam Schefter. You see that video? He was with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Okay.
And he's like, the Giants want you. The Steelers want you. How hard can it be to make a decision? It's like, shut up. By the way, free agency just literally actually started.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, why is anybody surprised? Everybody's acting like Aaron Rodgers is every other player in the league, where it's like, oh, it's time to do something. He's going to do it. I still feel like for Aaron Rodgers, what's more, based on the guy we know, what's more likely? He signs right away and says, I can't wait to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Or he likes the speculation. He wants you to continue to talk about him. Yeah, we all rush to talk about him. It's a two-way street. He likes it. We get clicks, but he likes it. And if he doesn't sign right away, not only are we speculating on where he'll play, but he can skip all the offseason. He can skip the mini camp. He can skip the training camp. And if he signs right away, you got to meet with coach. Coach is going to have a little bit of a superiority over you. Or you come in week 5 when someone gets hurt, week 8 when someone gets hurt, and you say, hey, I'll play, but I don't have time to learn all your plays and learn a new language. I'm just going to sling it. What Aaron Rodgers wants is that. Not to sign on March 12th and have a press conference on a Thursday. So I say all this. I feel pretty good about it. But I'm also scared that he will sign and then, you know, I'll look stupid. But
okay,
so the Aaron Rodgers we know.
I like your take. It's an interesting take. But there's not many spots left. So if he wants to start, play this year, which I don't know, maybe he doesn't. But if he does, there's really only 2 musical chair openings remaining, Giants and Steelers. So I don't think he's waiting because he's been offered and he's sitting on it. I think he's waiting to be offered because I think it's a miscalculation. If it's the other way, it's a miscalculation by Rodgers. Because if he waits much longer and he's like, oh, I'm just going to wait, like, you think the Steelers are going to go into camp with no starting quarterback after having just...
I think they should bring Russ back, to be honest.
If you're a Steelers fan, you'd rather Russell Wilson than Aaron Rodgers.
I would. I'd rather Justin Fields than any of them.
Well,
I think Steelers fans are in hell and hate every single option that they're being presented with.
Steelers fans want 1 year where they're bad, so that Mike Tomlin can get fired, and so they can draft a quarterback.
They want off this ride, to use a Bart phrase.
They want
same
off
with the Colts.
Tomlin coast.
Unrelated, but Colts fans have to be like, you're fucking kidding me. Like, you're bringing another guy in here for 1 year, whether it's
there's
Richardson
a Colts
or
fan. There's a Colts fan that has a Phillip Rivers jersey, that has a Matt Ryan jersey,
Carson
that
Wentz.
Has a Carson Wentz jersey.
Joe Flacco.
That has a Joe Flacco what? Jersey. That
That's
has a Nick Foles jersey.
On. Oh, my God.
All right, so I'm not even kidding. Breaking Aaron Rodgers news via Adam Schefter.
Stop.
Does it really happen?
Not kidding. He just posted, now official, Jets are releasing Aaron Rodgers after 4 p.m. today. Jets will take on $49 million in dead money by releasing Rodgers. He's being designated as a post-June 1 cut, meaning they'll carry his $21 million cap hit into June 1, blah, 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 blah. But officially on the books as a release as of today. And that honestly, like, he
so nothing new.
But this does. So again, there's a lot of things that you're going to see happen, I think, here around the afternoon of this.
Because the Athletic put out like, it's Aaron Rodgers Day. They're cutting him at three, and then we'll see. No, we won't see.
So that's where I disagree. It's a process thing. This did have to happen officially before legally there could be these level of conversations with the Steelers. But there could be, you know, you can.
But players have signed while still members about this week, right? Haven't they? Just it's been announced.
Well, no, those are free agents, though.
Yeah, but Rodgers is about guys who I could be wrong. Who cares?
No, I mean,
I shouldn't have interrupted you.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, but I think for the most part, except for some like rule breakers, you are incorrect. Like, there, if you are contractually beholden to a team, like Rodgers was up until.
Paul's not a guy that says wrong. He says incorrect.
But here's the thing: Rodgers is going to be
a facts are skewed.
Rodgers will not technically be a free agent until June 1, right? So some other team will announce their intention to sign him, and we'll get to accept it as gospel and official, even though it won't be. That's what I'm saying.
But he's going
to
be at minicamp.
Well, so like a guy of Rodgers' veteran status would not do anything before June 1 anyway, right? I mean, maybe other than like a press conference, which even he probably wouldn't do.
Guys, Rodgers,
come on. Rodgers, do a press conference.
Rodgers is going to sit on McAfee every week. And McAfee's going to say, oh, what about this team? Oh, what about this team? And then, you know, the nine people in the back are going to go, they're all seals now. In my imitation, they're seals. That's because it's a zoo. They had a guy even filling in for Ty. And I was like, someone's filling in for Ty.
The show can get by without Ty for a day. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a game they actually play. I don't know if you guys are like avid listeners, but can you get by without Ty? Brought to you by WWE.
Do we seem like daily listeners of the McAfee program?
Honey. Yes. Yes, my big break. Ty's off this week. They're going to let me sit in Ty's chair on the Pat McAfee show.
You know what's kind of like messed up though is like that would be a big break.
Dude, you know what was fucked is I don't think I asked you guys about this, but Big Cat posted like, I'm looking for my new assistant, submit resumes. And I'm thinking they're like, oh, that'll be a cool job for someone. And then I thought about it for 20 seconds. I'm like, would that be better than what I'm doing? Like, would going to get Big Cat his coffee and making a skit, like, would that actually be a better job than the one I have now? Would sixth chair on the McAfee show be better? It probably would be.
Yeah, that would be. And that's no disrespect to what you're doing now, but
I know what you mean. It's a huge on ESPN. You're on TV every day.
I think so.
Better
than
me?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's the biggest. Is it the biggest sports show in the world?
I think for the people who watch it.
Well,
yeah,
that's true of anything. Severance is the biggest show in the world for those who watch it.
There are people who watch it every day, and then the rest of us don't engage with it at all. Like, there are people who throw on First Take when they're home alone in the morning. There's people who throw. I don't think people throw. I could be wrong. I don't think people are just like, I got nothing. Well, let's see what McAfee's talking about. Like, it doesn't strike me as that kind of show.
What am I bigger than?
Let's find the line. God damn it.
Let's see, who's on your battlefield?
I don't know.
You know what's wild to me is the reverence and care that people have for ESPN radio. When I was at the Super Bowl, we were at a party where there was a group of people around me who were apoplectic over some of the choices being made at ESPN. And they're all like, when I grew up, that was the fuck. Everyone aspired to be on that show. I don't think I've ever listened to ESPN radio once. You know what I mean? Like, and I suppose back when it was Russillo and was it Russillo and Canal, and like there were good shows, but I don't know, these people need local radio, live and local in their life. Why are you listening to ESPN? Why does that matter so much to people?
Yeah, but it was the same thing when I was with Fox Sports Wisconsin and just starting. It's like, man, if one day I could work my way up to be, you know, there's always going to be the brand names. It's like Bart had that one glorious week on CBS Sports Radio before they changed the name, and then like, you know, it's the same network, it's the same station, it just doesn't have the big three letters that are, you know, known.
You want to know what I think Rodgers is doing? I think there's a little bit of the showmanship, and he's earned that, and it's good for us, so I'm not going to complain. I think he really wants to go to Minnesota. I think that's the destination that he wants.
Wow.
Well, he wants
Minnesota doesn't want him. So I think he's sitting there like, I'm going to make Minnesota keep saying no. Like, I'm going to make them consider that. I think that's part of this too.
Okay, so
I don't think he wants to go somewhere and then get benched in week seven.
And he would and should. So that's why I would say, I think Pittsburgh.
I don't think he wants to go. So the Giants are out for me.
Why?
Because they're going to draft a quarterback.
What pick do they have? Four?
Three.
But what if the first two guys are gone? You going Jackson Dart at three?
No. But there's the risk of it. Like, Rodgers, is Kirk Cousins going to go to Cleveland and then they're going to draft a quarterback and he's going to get Kirk Cousins is going to get Kirk Cousins?
He's going to get Penixed again for the second straight year. I think if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, it's the full year. I don't think you bring in Daniel right. Jones to yeah. start six games. You bring in Justin Fields for the same reason. Like, I'm not convinced he's going to finish the year with the Jets, and I don't even know who else is on their depth chart or who they could acquire, but I'm pretty sure Justin Fields isn't starting 17 games.
They'll draft a quarterback. The Jets will, and it's not going to be one of those big names necessarily. If I was a Steelers fan, I'd be very excited about Aaron Rodgers. Even if I watched Aaron Rodgers the past year, I would still be like, I mean, we would do the Fumke marriage. You know, it might work for us. I would.
Why not get Russ back and pair him? He's got DK again.
Did they get a? Were they good?
I don't know.
They did play Russ, together, right?
Russ throws a much better deep ball at this stage of his career than Rodgers does. Rodgers was underthrowing MVS in 2019. Don't give me that look. Be like, Rodgers can still sling it. He can sling it in some ways, but he hasn't properly laid a deep ball out for a wide receiver to run under since 2018.
You're blaming Rodgers for something. If Mike Williams just would have stayed on the red line, I'm just kidding. What was the thing that he kept saying after that?
The red line. I'm not trying to be anti-Rodgers. I think he played pretty well down the stretch last year. He's 40 and coming off an Achilles. Last year to me was way more about how the Jets were a mess than it was about Rodgers not being at 41. Or he's 41 in December, 42 in December.
Yeah.
Holy balls.
It's easy for because I was associated with being X number of months older than me. Wow. But I was gonna say, if I was a Steelers fan, I'd say I'm in. If I was a Vikings fan, regardless of the Packers rivalry, but just for the sake of my own team, I'd say what the fuck? Why?
Good.
Partially because I don't know if I want all of that in my space, but also because I think, again, McCarthy, I wish McCarthy, for his own sake, would have just had a backup year behind Darnold and not gotten hurt. Because that's going to hinder development. It's not like Mahomes behind Alex Smith, where you sat and you studied. If you can't move and practice like McCarthy couldn't, yes, you're still in the meeting rooms and all of that, but I would not, as a Vikings fan, want Rodgers, unless it was to stick it to my Packer friends. But there would be no...
They're already sticking it to us. They don't need to steal our guys anymore. They've been better than us. They were better than us. And I can say us because I'm an owner.
You're not.
Me too.
I also think the Vikings got to be behind the scenes. All right, we love JJ McCarthy. Love him. But look at this effing roster. What if McCarthy isn't that good? Or what if he's not ready? This team could win a Super Bowl.
But isn't that the point?
I don't think Rodgers can win a Super Bowl. So maybe it starts and ends there. But
Okay. The Vikings have, this is going to be a hard question to ask without having done research, but just off the top of your head.
You haven't workshopped it yet.
Well, no, I'm saying for you guys, I feel kind of bad for you guys. This is a tough question to throw
We're
on you.
We're pros, Paul.
You'll handle it just well. You'll handle it just fine. Take away the quarterback position off of every roster.
You didn't tell me we were doing this today. Okay, fine.
Sure. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
The classic Russillo. Sorry, go, Paul. I'm going to turn my mic off now.
The Vikings have a top 10 roster, excluding the quarterback position from every team. If you take away the QB position, it doesn't exist. The Vikings have a top 10 NFL roster. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
I think so.
If not, they got to be close.
It's right there. I mean, it's a.
I think they're probably closer to 10 than 1, but
yeah,
excellent roster. And if you count coaches and coordinators, the play callers on both sides of the ball,
yep.
Home field advantage, got to count that. It's not a roster thing technically, but.
Yeah. I like Minnesota's roster. I don't know if JJ McCarthy is good or ready, but I do understand. I will say this because Bart, I listened to your opening segment on the national show last night.
And I have one.
You do. It's a different
are
battle.
People aware of it?
I mean, not really, but I am. there are some other local Wisconsin radio hosts who have no idea that you have that show, but there's you were
really?
Very. Yeah. They were very BK, reverse it. So you had a very anti-Daniel Jones to Indianapolis take, and I'm with you.
I'm pissed. That pissed me off.
I'm with you that if I was a Colts fan, I would say, like, you're hindering the development. Like, if Anthony Richardson is good, the Colts have a future. If he's bad, I want to find that out.
Yeah.
$14 million for a one-year rental. Like, I'll give you this. Let's just say Darnold was – let's say Darnold had a – let's say Darnold didn't play – let's say Darnold didn't have, like, the season he had for Minnesota last year. It made sense to me why the Vikings, with drafting J.J. McCarthy, a rookie McCarthy, would want to bring in Darnold on a one-year $10 million deal. Because I wouldn't want, as a Vikings fan, McCarthy to start as a rookie, a la Rodgers, Love, you know, other examples.
Well, Mahomes.
Penix, Mahomes. I would want to have my Kirk Cousins, my Darnold, so that J.J. McCarthy could sit for a while. It's different when Richardson is going into year three after having been benched in year two, like publicly headline grabby, like benched.
I just get mad that nobody, like, so we saw Rodgers work. Obviously, I think you can say Love worked.
Yeah.
We saw Patrick Mahomes work.
Yeah.
And everybody goes into the year either saying, we're gonna give him a year, or he's gonna start. They all go into the year thinking that, and then they always change their mind.
Drake May, the Patriots changed their mind last year.
Yeah, if you're gonna change your mind, just start Drake May then. If you're gonna bench Bryce Young, if you're 0-2 as the Panthers and think, oh shit, the playoffs are spiraling, they're not gonna fucking make up. Okay, so make up a just make that, because then you go back and forth and back and forth, and who are you benefiting?
So I have a response to that, because I heard you make this point last night, and if I would have just been like on the other end of a microphone, I would have chimed in to say what I would say, which is like the Colts, the reason that they're in this spiral and this circle and this repeating nonsense of bringing in an old quarterback and trying to fit him in with whatever else they're doing is because the GM and the coach, even though they've changed a little bit throughout, like they've made their decision. And now they're stuck trying to fix a bad decision, and then stuck fixing that bad decision, and then stuck fixing that. So they're just trying to maintain their job. And when you're just trying to maintain your job, you're not going to make the long-term best decisions for your company, for your team,
That's why if I ever had a GM that was close to being on the hot seat, I would just fire him.
You kind of have to, or you have to be ready to override their decisions. And if you're going to override their decisions, then they probably shouldn't be your GM.
Like, I'd fire Joe Shane right now, because Joe Shane's not going to do anything to help the Giants. He's going to do anything to save his job.
Yeah, it's like, could the outcome be worse by making the decision to fire said person? Maybe. But if you're not going to trust that the decisions that your GM is making, because you know they're just trying to save their own job, then they're making short-sighted decisions. Signing Daniel Jones to 1 year and $14 million, whether it works out or not, is a short-sighted decision. The best case scenario is, like, for the Colts in 2025, is that Daniel Jones outplays Richardson, has a Sam Darnold-esque year. The Colts go 10-7, 11-6. Daniel Jones leaves and goes elsewhere. And now you're like stuck with Anthony Richardson, and you're forcing, I guess it's yours again.
But they're going to start Richardson. And then they're going to go 1-3, and then they're going to bring in Daniel Jones.
But he's going to get
the same
hurt.
Thing with him that they did with Flacco.
Or he's going to get hurt, because he's been hurt. So, like, if he gets hurt again, you can't just have nobody. Like, the Colts can't be in that spot. I think it's fine. I think they're boned with.
Then again, if he can't beat out Daniel Jones, then maybe there's your answer.
This is what I said on the Midday Show earlier today. I said they brought in the best possible quarterback to compete with Anthony Richardson, who they still believe can be beaten by Anthony Richardson. They're like, yeah, we're going to have a quarterback competition. Let's bring in the best possible guy who we also still think Anthony Richardson will beat.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I got a hypothetical for you guys. If you knew you could get 25% off each and every order, I mean, wouldn't you just go ham? HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order. We're talking the gummies, the tinctures, the lip balms. We're talking the Delta 8s, Delta 9s. We got the CBDN for Nynite. We got the THC. We got the seltzers. We got everything you need to relax and feel good and not go too crazy, but you can experiment. And if you like this kind, get it again. If you need a little more, order again. Because every time you order, it's 25% off with the promo code BART at happyplacehemp.com. All right. It's week 13 of the 2025 NFL season. The Packers are 9-3. Jordan Love blows out his knee.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
The Packers call up an unsigned Aaron Rodgers. I'd be down. I guess you have to be.
I would too. It would be so awesome. It would be the perfect way, even no matter how that season finishes, the perfect ending to the story.
Yeah, as much as I don't want to, like, I left the park. Okay, I wanted off the ride. I left the park. Mm-hmm. I said we are never coming back there ever again. But if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign somewhere and Jordan Love's hurt and the Packers need a quarterback and Aaron Rodgers is available, I mean, I just got mailer after mailer after mailer to my house with deals I cannot turn down. For the price of that, I will love this ride. Or at least I'll be willing to go on it one last time. The real last dance. Maybe get a trade for Devontae back from the Rams.
No. Now you've lost me.
Get MVS, who signed with the Seahawks today. Finally give Amari Rodgers a fair shake. Call up Equanimeous St. Brown.
Mm-mm.
He's too busy podcasting with his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got on this topic? I would say mm-hmm. So, yes, mm-hmm, signing Rodgers.
That was it.
Week 12.
I just wanted to put it out there so that it doesn't actually happen.
Put yourself just real quick.
Who are you most excited to see retire, like in all of sports? I think mine's Adam Schefter. I think he's just so whiny.
Well, my answer was actually, I was going to save this for later because I want to do a Packers topic first. But my answer is LeBron.
Second is me.
You're not going to get to choose to retire. You're just going to be like gone.
Yeah.
Sports journalism will be better without Schefter and the NBA will be better without LeBron.
All right, let's do a Packer one. I know we're all ready to pounce on LeBron, but we can do a Packer one.
I'm ready to pounce on Grant for that take. We'll save it. He was defending him in our text chain. I was like, what the fuck is wrong?
Yeah, well, you're gonna be two against one.
I'm usually the one in the 2-on-1 in this group, so I'm gonna
take a hint.
Oh no.
If you're always the wrong one.
I didn't say wrong. I said the one, not the wrong one. Grant, we did this topic a week ago, and you were, I think the question I ended up asking was, Packers fans should pay little mind to the DK Metcalfs and the Trey Hendricksons, which could still happen, and the Max Crosbys. Packers fans should pay a little mind. And I think Bart and I, in our seniority of this group, were like, we're just tired of, you know, getting excited and being let down, and you're a youngin' with a lot of years left to be disappointed. And you're like, no, like, you know, even sports content radio aside, you thought, you know, I think, no, we should pay it mind. Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, maybe something else. Trey Hendrickson is still available, but contrary to like the Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner year, contrary to the Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs year, the Packers had money. Just like they did last year when they got McKinney. Now, again, this free agent class was not last year's free agent class, and needs and, you know, desires of the players, all these things to be said. But, and you also can't win Super Bowls or go to the playoffs or win divisions in March. Having said that, if the Packers are done for all intents and purposes, they did what they did. Now they're going to draft some guys. If you had to give them a pass or fail grade on March 12th for their offseason, it was a fail. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I think you directed that one at Grant.
I was. He may. Only because he was the one who said, no, like, I think they should do it. I think they're going to do it. That's in relation to Metcalf or Hendrickson.
Grant made a few Twitter dollars on his Aaron Banks takes.
I might have missed these.
I don't think they failed. Failing would be the Packers had all this money and they sat on their hands. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Although we've had so many callers this week, he's like, I knew they wouldn't do anything. It's like, what the fuck are you guys? They didn't sign the guys that you maybe expected at the positions you expected. And that's my problem. Like, I think they could have addressed corner and O-line just fine in the draft. I think throw a couple picks at both of those positions. Excellent. You would have been fine. I thought they would have been better served spending their free agency dollars or any trade capital, which isn't out the window on March 12th, but I thought that would be better served spent on wide receiver and edge rusher, and they neglected that so far, which I think will be harder to get immediate impact in the draft. Oh, great, you're just a hater. No, Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary exist. Like, I don't want an edge rusher that's a six-year project. Yeah. And wide receiver, it's just hard. Maybe they could pick one at 23. I'd be surprised. I don't think they failed, though. I think that corner's a nice piece for Jeff Hafley. And the old lineman, whose name has been escaping me since the moment I saw the tweet, he will help move Elton Jenkins to center.
I couldn't remember it either. Banks.
I've had post-it notes on the bottom of my computer.
I can't remember it either.
Nate Oates, Nate Banks, Aaron Banks. I think it's Aaron Banks.
No, Bart Oates, you guys, Bart Oates was a center for the Giants in their Super Bowl runs of correct. The 1990s.
Pass, but a begrudging pass. And it's like, oh, the student turned in an assignment. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess this works. Not really what I was going for, but I'm not going to fail you over this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way that fans approach free agency, like I'm in one group chat of a fantasy league and they're all like, this is like the day. This is like my favorite day.
Oh, wow.
Why?
Sounds like Paul.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things happening and it's hard to keep up with everything. And, you know, there's a rush to that. The dopamine's kicking in. That's always good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want the Packers to do something, how do you react when they do something and give considerable money? We don't know all the details. But when they give considerable money and then, like, it's a guy you've never heard of.
Yeah.
So Aaron Banks, I have never heard, like, I have never, and I think that's okay. He is a guard, first of all. Whoever, I mean, it's centers, tackles, then you get to guards in terms of I know the offensive linemen on other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the 49ers, Aaron Banks. I don't know how we're supposed to know that as Packer fans. No. Nate Hobbs, later in the day, someone texts me, is this Nate Hobbs stuff true? And if you would have then told me Nate Hobbs plays NFL cornerback, I'd say, oh, yeah, I think he plays for the Raiders. I had him in some defensive league. Okay, I get there. But just Nate Hobbs initially, is this Nate Hobbs stuff true? I was like, I thought there was like some guy that killed a bunch of people in a forest. That's what I thought. Nate Hobbs stuff, true. Is this some kid we went to junior high with? Rap fuck, what this fuck is did like, Nate Hobbs do?
This is like when Shams broke the Luka news and people were like, are we sure this is true? Nate Hobbs, are we sure?
Yeah, are we sure Nate Hobbs is really coming here? So when you do something, but you don't know the guys. I mean, these are not name brand guys for not like 99% of Packer fans. And I don't know that there's any Packer fan that knows both of them before this week. And I don't think there's even one single Packer fan that knows who Aaron Banks is.
You watch a lot of guard tape.
And I don't care who's doing a good job podcasting about him. You didn't know Aaron Banks. Nobody knew Aaron Banks. I'm still not sure he's real. There's only that one picture of him spiking a football.
And his headshot looks a lot like Jordan Morgan and Sean Ryan smashed together.
Sure.
Like, it looks like in this day of AI, how are we supposed to trust anything?
Did the Packers really sign someone? We're not even sure yet.
Well, I have a follow-up question about Jordan Morgan as it relates to this, but we can finish this up and then we'll pivot.
So I guess like, they pass, but then again, with free agency, you know, with the Bears, okay, they rebuilt their offensive line, and they're very excited about that. I watched a clip from The Score. Well, who's the center? Dane, what's the guy's name?
Dolman?
Yeah.
Who cares?
They were reacting to that signing as if they got the number one pick to draft Connor Bedard. Like that kind of enthusiasm that Chicago had for him. Mm-hmm. Like they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe the riches that were being spoiled to them with this offensive line. We don't know that that's going to work out. It's fun to win March 10th.
Yeah.
Which Jacksonville did for 5 years in a row. Mm-hmm.
The Bears have done a couple years in a row now too.
Yeah.
I mean, winning free agency, winning the opening day of free agency is basically like the NBA Cup of the NFL.
Dude,
in the moment, you're like, sure, but what's it really going to do?
You mentioned the score. I follow the score and I see their tweets, and sometimes they'll post a topic and I'm like, Jesus, I don't think I could. Or like a couple weeks ago, it's like Victor Wembanyama has been declared out for the year. How does this impact the lottery odds of the Bulls? And I'm like, I think I'd sell cars.
Bulls radio. I was listening to the end of Rami last night because he was in, and he's trying to talk about the Bulls, and he's like, they just do enough where they're not good, but then they're not bad enough. It's just this. I mean, they're going to get the 10 seed with like a 30-52 record. It's insane.
Gross.
I don't know. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did. It's a pass. You said pass, not fail, but not exactly with flying colors. That's, of course, my answer as well. Like, did the passer, the Packers failed? Like, I was curious how emotional your reactions could be, and I didn't think they would be, but I'm sure you've had, Grant, you would particularly in Wisconsin, I'm sure have had callers that have, as you've mentioned, like, would have said, fail. Like, and Bart, maybe even one of your friend group chats would have said, fail.
I didn't say these were friend group chats. I said I was in group chats.
Sorry, football, fantasy.
My friends of my life, I barely talk to, but people I was in a fantasy league with, God, I know everything about them.
Yes. So, Packers did not fail. If you have to give them a pass fail grade, you know, almost by default, it's pass because it's not fail. But, you know, certainly if you went into this, and again, this is all premature because it's not the end of free agency. Week one is not tomorrow. They could very well get Trey Hendrickson.
There's a lot of ball game left.
Now, careful. That's trademarked.
True.
Bart might have to pay a licensing fee now on his show. But it's fine. It's a pass. It would have been fun. It would have been fun to have DK Metcalf. Like, of course. Yeah. Like, that would be a fun story. But I don't know. I want my wide receiver to at least be like a top eight guy before I'm going to pay for a 27-year-old to give up a second round pick and give him that contract. Like I would have given, like Bart, you're thinking about the dopamine. Like I would have said like, oh, whoa, this is going to be fun to watch. And then you'd like kind of get past the emotions of it and say, ooh, like that's,
I got a dopamine hit for you. Did you see this?
Have you seen this? You heard about this?
Atlanta's keeping Kirk Cousins.
Sure they are. Yeah.
They are expected to keep him through Sunday's deadline and pay him the $10 million he's due.
Wait, I mean, when did this happen?
I
can't really trust you because you don't go on social media until we tell you about it, so I don't know.
Until it comes time to fight Bodie about Aaron Rodgers, then you're like, no, I'm back on Twitter now, which seems odd, but good for you.
No, I'm back. I did tweet today, but otherwise I've deleted all my tweets back to February. Because the reason I'm deleting my tweets is because I'm ashamed of things I say. The reason I'm deleting my tweets is because they're using it without my permission to build their AI machines.
And without
I'm not
you,
happy they, about that.
Without you, they won't be able to build it.
Well, they won't be able to build me.
Mm.
Oh, speaking of something sort of tangential, Severance this week needs to be a banger of an episode because last night I had a dream of my own Severance episode and it was fucking amazing.
Of you being the central character?
No, I just dreamt the Severance episode and I woke up. I was like, I got to watch that shit again. And then I realized it was not real.
Okay, let's go there for a minute. Tangent. I'm only one episode behind.
Okay.
Not bad. Season two of Severance has been okay.
You people.
No, they're taking more like full episode detours.
too many. Like one.
Well, the next episode you're going to get is a real big one.
A big detour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I back in my day, that was just character development. That wasn't a detour, but we used to.
I know. But I would
journey.
I would wait until there was another one this week. I wouldn't watch it tonight.
God forbid you should ever finish an episode of television excited to watch the next. Like, God forbid an episode ever gets you geared up to watch the next one. No. They should tie it all in a nice, neat little bow. It wasn't even a spoiler. They gave you so much payoff. This isn't a spoily show.
They do give you answers and payoff, but of the least interesting character in the show, in my opinion.
I'm pretty sure, Bart, that I watched Severance season one quite a ways before you. And what I was trying to think,
I watched it every week live.
Oh, so we did. Well, okay. So we were actually, who was it?
Or however it was released. I watched it right away.
Okay. So you were. Because what I was thinking back to is when I was like this show after season one, like I remember thinking it was a really good show. And then the finale and the final 4 minutes of the finale of season one were so good that it created unbelievable, well-deserved buzz going into season two. But the thing I never like about shows is if they stray too far from like their core.
But this show at some point had to. I mean, you can't.
Well, no. But like, so they like, I want to see the four characters in their cubicle thing. Like,
right.
You've got like almost none of that. So like
Office is on Peacock. If that's what you're looking for, the whole show, you don't even have to wait a week between episodes.
I'm just saying, I think it's a little bit of a cheat code to be able to take your characters anywhere. If all of a sudden you wake up in a dreamland and you're on like this snowy mountainside.
That wasn't a dream though.
I'm not saying it was a dream. I'm just saying like
that was an Ort bow
for all intents and purposes. It's
which retangled spells robot.
Point is, I think that can be a cheap. It's like I remember being in first grade. They're like, write a story. It just can't end with and then you woke up. This is us. It was either first, second, or third grade, and it was like you got to write a story. Just have it. We went to different schools, obviously, but like literally,
different curriculum, Paul. Yeah,
I don't know, but like
there was a big epidemic in your district of kids writing dream tales.
The only rule was don't end it with and then they woke up. That was I remember.
But for that to be a rule, there had to be a discussion amongst teachers. Like, this is getting out of control, right? These kids and these stories.
No, I think because honestly.
So when do we implement it? Cut the head off the snake. First fucking grade.
Yeah. What I take away from it 33 years later is like you have to ground it in some level of reality. Otherwise, no matter what you do in your story is inconsequential.
Well, let's just see it play out.
Seeing it play out. I was hoping to like go into season two and then by the midway through season two, be like, yep, one of my five favorite shows ever. And it's not yet.
You know what people, typically this is a younger person issue, Paul. You're not old by any means, but here's the problem. Do you think a musical artist is good? Do you like what they're about? Okay. Do you believe in their process? Then get on the ride with them. And get excited for where they're going to take you. Don't sit there like a critic, like, what do you got next? Like,
that's all right, we're about to play one off our new album. Paul's like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah. So do you think the people making the show are good and making good choices? Do you think the actors are good and making good choices? Well, then just get on the ride and surrender yourself. Not everyone has to have a blog or a fucking reaction podcast to every show that's ever been made now.
Here's maybe the somewhat blind spot benefit I have to the Severance discussion is like I actively avoid.
We haven't really spoiled anything, right?
No. But I'm saying I'm never watching if these reaction blogs and videos exist. I don't know them because I'm always about a week or two behind. So I actually don't know. Like I'm assuming they exist for a show this popular, Grant. Like that these reaction shows. But like Bart and I, as wrestling fans, have been like trained to say, "Let's see how it plays out." It's literally like you were talking like a wrestling fan. Because
you guys complain about everything. No one hates wrestling like wrestling fans. This is what I've come to realize.
And I think if you
like, make stupid decisions.
And I think if you like a show, if you like a band, if you like a movie.
Daredevil kicks ass, by the way.
Tell me if you disagree with this. If you truly like a band, you like a movie, a TV show, you like a franchise of a movie, you should be able to be like, this one's okay.
Well, do people do that about my show? No, because no one fucking listens.
No one knows it exists, so it's hard to really judge it.
All right, let's shit on LeBron.
All right. We'll save the Bucks one. I know they're in the midst of a losing streak. I have so many. I thought of multiple different ways we could.
That ending really made me mad. But if the Bucks play the Pacers in the playoffs, Halliburton's going to be like thinking he's way fucking better than he is just based on that shot alone. So it might be long term good.
I don't want to play the Pacers. Not because I don't think the Bucks will win. I think they would in a 7-game series, but because I don't want to like raise my blood pressure.
I don't want to live through Nembhard and Naismith and Neesmith and Nasmith and all those fucks again.
Especially not Nemsmith. That guy, he grinds fucking, my gears.
Fucking yeah. Antonio Nemsmith.
Grant, do you ever hear a new John Mayer song and be like, this one's, I still like the artist, but this one's not good. Or are you just along for the ride and you're just like, I surrender myself?
Up until this point, I think there's some music that's better. Like his last album came out like 3 years ago. Four years ago. God, what has he been doing now that I think about that?
He's been catching strays with BJ Novak.
In any event. No, right. Not up until this point. No.
Interesting. Ted Lasso season one. I thought like, how could they ever possibly, this is just elite television. And then like, here's a pile of shit.
I never watched season three. Once the episodes became like 58 minutes, I was like, yeah. Wasn't this a comedy?
Yeah.
I was pleased with season one. I did not feel the need to keep going. I thought it was nice.
Whoa, interesting. Season one was just beautiful and brilliant. Okay, LeBron. A lot of ways we can go with this topic. I don't want it to be too outlandish, but the NBA will be in a better place post-LeBron once he's away from the league on a day-to-day basis. I'm not saying ratings. I'm saying
the ratings are going to suck regardless, it seems.
I'm saying
we feel like LeBron, can we make parallels between him and Aaron?
I think so.
So here's the thing about LeBron, if I may.
Here's a guy.
LeBron is, if I may, the greatest basketball player to ever live.
Agreed.
Unquestionably top two or three.
Maybe he is the greatest basketball. Maybe. And I will reference again Spark Guy's elite take. The most elite take he ever had. The most elite take anyone ever associated with the show ever had. Is that all these guys bitching about load management, Jordan took 3 years off. I just think that's an elite way to look at things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then when he was 40, he was just chucking up shots with the Wizards. LeBron is a top 20 player, maybe higher.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And he will continue to be a top 20 player until what age?
Like, I don't think, to use a Nick Wright take, I don't think he'll ever be bad. I don't think we're going to get to the point where we turn on our TV and like, ooh, that's sad. He's too good. He's got too good of a mind, too good of a passing ability. Like, he's never going to be bad.
LeBron should be celebrated for all these accomplishments. But instead of looking at, wow, he's still 40 and doing this, people are like, oh, he's just playing to rack up so he can be top and everything. And that's kind of a weird way. LeBron should be celebrated that he can have his son, that he's good enough.
Yeah.
That he's good enough to basically tell a team, draft my kid, that he's old enough and good enough to still be in the league. But then the way that it goes, like the thing with Stephen A. Smith, my first thought was, you have a lot of different ways to get in touch with Stephen A. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Did it need to be on the sidelines of a game? Were you doing that for your son? It looked like he was doing it for him after watching some of the stuff he said to Richard Jefferson. He's like, you know, say whatever about my kid, but you're talking about me as a father. So now it's about him. So what are you defending here? Mm-hmm. I think that LeBron, like, here's what's pissing me off. So LeBron, a couple weeks ago, was bitching about this upcoming Lakers stretch where it's 6 games in 8 days. They play us twice. They play Denver. They've got a couple games, I think, on the road in Milwaukee and then Denver and then 4 at home. But it's 6 games in 8 days. And he put on Instagram, like, this can't be serious or whatever. And then he plays this other night in this national, you know, Lakers-Celtics. It's, I think, the highest-rated non-Christmas Day game of the season. And then he's hurt. And if you go back, he has missed considerable amount of time in March every year for the last 5 years. So it's clear that LeBron takes like a period in March to kind of recoup his body and get ready for a playoff run. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
During March Madness, too, he waited just for the conference tournaments to get started.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But then say that.
Yep.
Say I'm, you know, because Giannis was hurt around the All-Star break, and they explicitly said, like, look, we've been hurt. I need to be healthy. If I can take a little bit of time to just get my body right, and then, you know, then I'll continue on. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not, you know, like load management, this load management, that load management gets annoying when you go to a game and the stars aren't playing. Mm-hmm. But the reason for load management is because the season's long and the playoffs are long too. Mm-hmm. And the playoffs are grueling, dude. The playoffs are grueling. So if you can find a little bit of time, I just don't like that. The problem with LeBron is, right when you're ready to give him his flowers, he will do something or say something where you're like, I'd rather just keep it a secret that I like LeBron. I'd rather just not tell anybody this. Because it's always something so stupid with this guy.
I've never been a LeBron guy. For years, never been a LeBron guy. And I loved the Heat because I liked Wade and Battier and Chalmers and Norris Cole. That team just fucking ripped. But well, I was Mario never a LeBron Chalmers guy. But the problem is, and this has happened with folks politically as well, the spectrum has shifted. I've stayed in the same spot, but the anti-LeBron people have gotten so much worse. And the pro-LeBron people have just, like, they're not as boisterous anymore because they're right. So I have found myself sliding more pro-LeBron just because the spectrum around me has shifted. That's kind of where I stand on him. Paul, you are muted.
I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I say it for a second time. This time not on mute. I like your perspective. I like the way you approach the topic. I just know, like, as someone who has had the NBA as his favorite sport for the majority of my years, there are things that LeBron does that make me say, I don't want, like, I can't. I don't want this to be my favorite thing. What do I do to have this not be my favorite sport? And it's the unbelievably stupid, embarrassing flops. The thing with Tatum on that nationally, like, that is so poisonous to basketball, future of basketball, to the league's perception. Like, if Adam Silver wants to have, like, these, well, you scored the most points, congratulations, I guess, he should dial that energy. Fuck the All-Star game, Adam Silver. Like, point that energy toward, in Bart's opinion, in many opinion, the best basketball player ever, embarrassing your league with, And then, like, not only does he get the foul call, then he has to kind of keep pretending, right? Because if he just flashes a smirk, then you're like, okay, clearly he didn't get hit there. So he has to keep selling it. It's so embarrassing. This is something that the three of us have talked about, like, in group chat with, you know, certain people. But it's like, if you don't have that guy who can call you out on your shit, who can be like, bro, like, that's a bad look. Stop it. Then you're going to, like, it's just so embarrassing. Then you have the Stephen A. Smith situation, which is like, if you can watch those two interact in the way in which LeBron chose the interaction and the time, the location, the style, the message behind it, if you can leave that and be like, I'm with LeBron on this. I don't know who you, imaginary person I'm referring to. I don't know who you are and how that can be possible.
I think that makes Stephen A. Smith look remarkably worse than LeBron, in my opinion.
But Stephen A. Smith didn't do anything.
He's peacocking on that. He wants to be in the game, and he's not. He's a talking head on TV. Now we got to get tunnel videos of him showing up to the game.
That's
and like,
bad.
I didn't like that Stephen A. was like, he's like, I was with, who was he with?
Larry David.
He was with Ari Emanuel.
Ari Emanuel, yeah.
Like, you're in the media. Get a credential and sit in the media spot.
I don't want
this
my
is, This is not a pro Stephen A. Smith take. This is to say, like, there's no level of self-awareness from LeBron. The injury thing that Bart talked about, the flopping stuff, good players shouldn't pull the kind of stuff that he does in terms of complaining about calls, about flopping for calls. I just don't want to watch that. I don't want my favorite thing to be a thing that gives me a level of reaction negatively that that does. That's not about LeBron. It's about, you know, like if any great player in any sport did the kind of, it's honestly like if you took, it's not overly dissimilar of like Mahomes flopping. He shouldn't do that. Like Brittany or Jackson or someone in his life should be like, just stop it. Like you're hurting your brand. You're hurting your reputation.
I think
you're
he's the one who has to stop that shit. Those people to stop hurting their reputation.
Who in Mahomes' life is there to like be a guide to him? Andy Reid,
he is the guide for everyone.
This is generally an issue. And
he
this
just tell his dad not to fight John Rocker, for goodness sakes.
Wild.
Yeah, I don't think you should do that.
Anyway, the point is like I think the tactics are gross.
Look at my shadow.
The league will drop in, if the league wasn't already going to drop in ratings, which it seems to be, it will once LeBron is gone. He's a hugely marketable, big name guy. As a basketball purist, there's just some of the stuff just drives me crazy. And I don't know why he hasn't kept someone close enough to him to be like, purist. Just don't do that dumb shit. Purist. I hate it.
You would rather watch simulations than the greatest basketball player of all time. And this perfectly aligns with, oh, I want RoboUmps and I want the purest form. Every play should be reviewable. Let's just play the games on computers. Why do we even need real athletes? Like, I'm hyperbolizing, of course. But
so there's
a little bit of a take profile here, Paul.
There's a difference.
That was so condescending. I didn't mean it that way.
The difference between this and like the ump thing is wanting like the right outcome. If that's the profile you're saying, and I put right in air quotes for those not watching the video version, but it's like, I want the pure version of the thing. And you know what I really don't want is I don't want, in this case, lying. If you are getting touched here and then you're saying like, my God, I think my nose just broke.
It's not that LeBron lies. He just doesn't tell the truth. If that makes sense.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, it's a,
I don't lie to my wife. I just omit the truth.
Lies of omission.
Yeah. Well,
your thoughts on that?
No, with that,
good. We can pick this up another time.
We can table this.
Yeah, let's table this. Let's couch this.
Let's couch this.
I have to go.
Yeah, Grant's got a job.
Yeah,
to do. I don't know if you guys know this, but I will be on national radio again tonight for 4 fucking hours.
Javon
all over the goddamn continent.
The Vikings just signed Javon Hargrave. The Packers better hope the Bears remain absolute shit, or they're going to get last in this division.
Oh, by the way, take the under on every NFC North win total because they're playing
beat up on each other.
Way better divisions, also.
Mm-hmm.
Guys,
sounds
always
like
a pleasure.
That I'll listen for on the national show, Bart. A pleasure. Thank you, Bolton. Sorry.
No, it's good. I'm totally happy with my life.
I stepped good all over your sign off. I'm sorry. I'm going to go now. Bye.
Bye. Paul also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Sure.
Bye.
Then later. Thank you for stopping into the Winklerverse. That's it. Bye.